The church very deliberately treats the Feast of the Holy Innocents as a joyful feast day. We sing the Gloria on this feast day. We celebrate the Holy Innocents as triumphant martyrs. I say this is very deliberate. It's put right in the octave of Christmas. So this is a festive time of year. It's only the fourth day of the octave. A time to celebrate. The slaughter of the innocents did not take place on the fourth day after Jesus was born. If we try to figure out when it was, we have to put together Matthew's account and Luke's account. In Luke's account, Jesus was in Jerusalem when he was 40 days old, so he couldn't have fled to Egypt before that. It must have been after the time of his presentation in the temple. So the church could have put this feast day in Lent after the 40 days, could have put it in Lent and said this is a sorrowful event, the death of these innocent children. But instead, we treat it as a joyful feast day, which forces us to look differently at what appears to us as an absolutely terrible tragedy. What good could possibly come from killing innocent children? What is there to celebrate? We look at this and say, well, the evil that Herod did has no possible justification. What would you say to these women and these mothers and fathers mourning their children, sobbing in loud lamentation? Well, of course, in this moment, you offer them a word of consolation. But stepping back a little bit from the event and looking at it in light of the mission of Jesus Christ, we say, well, Jesus Christ is triumphant over death. Jesus Christ, who born on December 25, who escaped death as an infant boy, did not escape death on Calvary. He laid down his life. He took on this contradiction of death, and he defeated it. And so, death is not an invincible enemy anymore. Death is a defeated enemy. That's why we can celebrate even though people die. What came to mind as I was reflecting on this is the kind of stereotypical depiction of an Irish wake. I don't know if you know about the tradition of the Irish wake, but when the Irish get together to honor the dead, at least according to the stereotype, they have a raucous, joyful celebration, joking and laughing and drinking and celebrating. But they tell a lot of jokes about what the dead person is doing now in heaven, or what he's saying to the Lord. He's getting together with his buddies, he's getting back at his enemies, or he's having a good time, joking with angels, and there's all kinds of Irish jokes about what the dead do and what they would have been doing if they hadn't died and all kinds of stuff. Well, now this could be quite disturbing if you're mourning the loss of a loved one. If you're sorrowful because a person died, and it can be a little bit almost offensive, but it's actually an expression of Christian faith. Christian faith says, sure, death is terrible, but God already defeated death. So there's no reason to be depressed about it. Let's have a party that this person now can join in the celebration that Jesus has made possible for everybody. So that's something like what the church does with these holy innocents. These babies, first of all, it says they're holy. They were no holier than anybody else when they were just a few months old. How holy is a baby? Well, just as sinful as anyone else and just as innocent as anyone else. But they were chosen as a sacrificial offering. And their death testifies to Jesus Christ. That's why we honor them as martyrs. By their death, they are witnesses to the victory of Jesus Christ over death. It's a little hard to do this. It takes a deliberate act of faith to see anything good in this. Because if you look at only the account itself, you can't see anything good. People without faith, of course, immature people, they just refuse to face the fact of injustice and innocent people suffering and dying. But people who have a little maturity, even if they have no faith, they say, well, that's just the way it is, that sometimes happens. Sometimes people are killed for no understandable reason, and we have to accept life as it is. It's bad psychology to say that bad things don't happen. They do happen. But with faith, we take a leap beyond psychology and we say, yes, bad things happen, or what always seems bad to us from a natural perspective, but God is good, and God has overcome all that is bad. In today's first reading, we are told, this is the message we have heard from Jesus Christ and proclaim to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. In God there is no darkness at all. So by faith we say, what looks like darkness to us has not overcome the light of God. We just can't see how it works. But we can trust that God brings good out of even the worst of evils, that God is triumphant over even the worst of evils. That we can celebrate, we can laugh in the face of tragedy, because God is victorious. It gives a kind of firm foundation for us to stand on, knowing that God is all light and that he cannot be overcome by darkness. God is all truth. He cannot be overcome by lies. That God is all love. He cannot be overcome by hatred or by the wickedness of an evil king like Herod. It gives us a firm place to stand. As if we could say, in any circumstance, we get the last laugh. We have the last word here. You try to threaten us, and this is how the martyrs stand in every age of Christian history. The martyrs say, you try to threaten me? What are you going to do, kill me? You think you can defeat me by torturing me and killing me? Well, you can't, because God is victorious. So you can try your best to defeat the church, you can try your best to defeat faith, you won't win. We already know who wins. That's the attitude of a Christian. So we apply this in the case of these babies. Very mercifully, Matthew does not describe exactly the details of this massacre. It just says that Herod ordered the massacre, but we don't know how many, we don't know how they did it. Did they round up the kids? What about the parents who must certainly have tried to defend their children? Where were they buried and all kinds of, if you think about it, the way Hollywood think about it, there'd be blood all over the place. But we don't have to get into all the details, because the point is, no matter how bad this tragedy is, no matter how terrible this evil massacre is, God still has the final word. It has to be that way. If it weren't that way, then every time there was a tragedy, we would have to say, oh, God was defeated. do we really want God to be subject to the whims of evil kings? No, we hold to a God who is all-powerful and all-good. We believe in the victory. So it's this victory that we celebrate in this feast day. That's why we sing glory to God in the highest. That's why this feast is placed so close to Christmas. It's a statement that this child, Jesus, born in poverty and obscurity, this child is the source of our joy. And this is, he is the center of the whole victory. He's the answer to all the contradictions that we run into as we march through time. All the wickedness, all the injustice, it's all overcome by this one child, Jesus Christ.